I think for every business, no, to start is not that difficult. It just takes you courage. You start and you are there, but then keep where you are is a difficult thing. Behind the scenes takes a lot of tears, effort, and courage to be where I am.
Welcome to Skin Deep. I'm Dr. Anna Chacon, and today we have a very special guest joining us. Get ready for some expert insights you won't want to miss.
Menafawa Leka, she's a world famous fashion designer specializing in exotic skins. As far as we know, you are the only one in the world that does this, correct?
Well, no, there is other factories and other brands that they do exotics, including Hermes and Dior. They all do exotics, but now not anymore, because now I'm doing leathers as well. But my main, how I started was with Python. And then I started expanding to other materials like crocodile. And right now, besides exotics, I'm also doing leathers and any other type of materials. Plus, I am expanding my accessory line to clothing line. It's something is not launched yet. We hope to launch it in May. But it's a project that we have. So not anymore just exotics. Now it's a little bit of everything.
How you started developing that, I think you told me when we first met that you had studied in Italy.
Yes.
I think with other famous people.
Yes.
Could be the Sony family. How, you know, how did you, Ferragamo? Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I studied in Italy from 94 to 2000, 6 years. I lived in Florence. I went to Polimoda, and this is where I met all of these people. I'm very social, and they became my friends. And then through the years, I'm doing what I'm doing. I came to Miami, married with my husband, he's Greek, have 2 kids. I'm from Miami. So everything is like made in Italy, born in Miami. That's the slang of the brand by now. What else you want to know about how I started? It was through before Jimena Cavalecas, I was involved in different businesses. I was also selling purses, but eventually this business didn't go well. And in 2015 is when I started Jimena Cavalecas. With a call of a very good friend of mine, the last name is Ferragamo, and I don't know if you want to say that, but yeah, and this is how I started the whole thing, and my kids go to private school, they go to Gulliver, and the moms in Gulliver were the ones that truly support me to start with my own business, and that's how I started. And then my first store, the first department store that actually asked me to start with in the wholesale industry was Bergdorf Goodman. That was my very first department store. And after Bergdorf, obviously, the doors are open. And I started to sell also in Bloomingdale's, in Neiman's, in Moda Operandi, a lot of other sites, and also international. Then the pandemic came. I opened my first flagship in Design District. And after that one, I did some pop-ups in the Middle East. And right now, just selling retail, but I'm going back to the wholesale.
And was anyone in your family into fashion or even going to Europe, or were you kind of the trailblazer that started this?
One of the reasons why I went abroad and study is because I'm the youngest in the family. And my brothers, sisters are much older than me. If anything, my background is more like doctors, medicine than fashion. We have no fashion at all I guess they dress well, but we have no fashion influence. I'm the only one in this industry that I adore what I do since I was born. I really knew what I wanted to do, but my father passed when I was very little and I was like very close to him. And since then I went abroad. At 14, I went for a boarding school in London and then I came back to Ecuador. I didn't want to live there. And since then I have been always not been in Ecuador, just living abroad. And I live now in Miami. All my family is in Ecuador.
I remember you did tell me about some of the ups and downs you had in fashion. I've had ups and downs in medicine. That's definitely what makes you resilient as a business owner. Tell me a little bit about those ups and downs. And I remember you told me once about your failed initial business and how you were able to turn that around. And what advice would you have for people who are, you know, starting the online or going through the same thing?
Especially fashion, and this is my industry. It has a lot of ups and downs. It's like a roller coaster. Everybody asks me, okay, what is this business? It's about being faster, or it's about who you know the most, on what you do the most. I think it's a business, it's an obstacle. And I always think this business as a running competition, and where you don't need to be, it's not a resistance, it's not obstacles, it's just patient. I think you need to know where you're going, you need to focus, and the obstacles, because there will be a lot of obstacles, you need to be prepared for those. It's not easy. You have a lot of ups and downs. For example, before Jimena Cabalecas, I had another business where it was a different name and everything, instead of being made in Italy, where I had all my knowledge because this is where I used to live and study and everything, I decided to do made in China. So it was very low price point handbags. I was going to trade shows and selling these, but then the recession 2011 that hit the United States, with that, I had to close my business. And this is when I stopped everything. And when I told you that I started in 2015, thanks to my friend, it was a completely different business. And obviously my husband was not so much supportive of that, because I already had a very big failure in my past business. Now, when you get in the luxury segment, it's even more difficult. Being in the design district among all of these humongous brands is not easy at all. It's extremely difficult because I'm the only Latin, not even Latin, forget about my personal self, as a business, as a name. Jimena Cabalecas is a very small luxury brand compared to these giants. And to survive and be there, it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of passion. But I'm there, you know, surviving. I think you need to be resilient, very resilient in order to be. But I enjoy every moment because this is what I love. I love fashion. It's in my oxygen. I wouldn't be able to be without what I do. And I'm very thankful that I'm able to work and do things that I truly adore.
Excellent, excellent point. Yes, when I look at what's in the Miami Design District, and tell me how you decided to open there as opposed to, you know, Dadeland or Bell Harbor. But you're correct. I see you're basically surrounded by these corporate giants that they're even in the stock market. So, you know, they have funding from basically the public. It's not one person. It's a huge corporation. You know, LVMH is one of the biggest growth stocks in the world.
The biggest.
The biggest in fashion. Have you thought about selling or merging into one of these where you can keep your line exclusive, but like how LVMH has a conglomerate of these high-end brands? I'm just curious.
This is something that I believe, and this is personal, right? I always think or thought that every Hollywood or every celebrity's dream is to make a perfume. I swear. And I think every fashion designer, the dream is to sell the business. Like, for example, Tom Ford, that sold his business in so many thousands of millions of dollars. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there, but yeah, why not? If I receive a very good offer for my business, I will consider my job done in Jimena Cabalecas, and I will happily sell it. You build, I think, unconsciously, every designer builds a business or builds a brand thinking that one day is going to be everywhere, right? That is the big dream in every single city, in every single country. And for that to happen, you know, a big corporation has to help you with the knowledge and obviously with the cash. That is insanely amount of cash that you need to spend.
That you would otherwise not have. Same with me as a practice. You would otherwise not be able to grow as big without that. And then you could keep your exclusivity, your name, all of that stuff. And that would be a great marriage. And how are you able to go to Italy? How often do you go? How did you end up picking your factory? I guess talk a little bit about the customs regulations, which we learned as we were doing the doctor pack, could be very annoying and difficult to work around.
I can start from the custom situation. So it's extremely difficult. If I have white hair, it's because of that. It's almost impossible. So this is why probably not many brands work in exotics or with exotics, because it's so difficult for a bag. Remember, we had the case with the trolley bag. So I was bringing accessories and I always bring handbags, but then I bring a trolley. I never imagined that is in the customs, fish and wildlife. Is the segment is travels. and it's different. So you need to acquire a different license. So these are not obstacles, but they are little that stops you from, because I could have delivered this 3 months, 4 months, and it took so long. So it's a lot of patience. It's very difficult. And I am involved with the fish and wildlife. In every bag that I sell that is Python, they will, like the people that buy them, the customer will find a little card that says that a percentage of this bag is going to be donated to the Fish and Wildlife Foundation of Florida. So I'm part of that. And even though I'm very involved and I have been doing things almost going to be 10 years. In October 21st, I'll be 10 years with my business. Still, I have to face this type of, I wouldn't say problems, but obstacles or delays with customs. So it's super, super difficult, extremely difficult. But if you like it and you love it, you know, it's a balance. I love what I do. It's difficult. It's not easy. You measure. I mean, I adore anything will stop me. I don't know. I mean, if I'm healthy and I'm here in this world, I will continue to do what I do because it's my oxygen.
How did you find your factory in Italy? I'm sure there's a lot of factories in Italy, but how did you?
Yeah. So, okay. Then sometimes I say that I feel lucky, but then I have other friends and mentors that say, no, luckiness doesn't exist. It's the moment that meets the opportunity or the capacity that you have to choose the right opportunity or to select the right opportunity. I don't know what it is. I'm just telling you that in my case, I have received the call of a very good friend of mine from a very good family in Italy in the fashion industry, very known, that told me, you know, you need to go back to what you're doing because you're great at this and let's start. And that's how I did it. Now, being involved in Italy is very difficult to get into these factories that they make for a lot of luxury brands. So I started with this brand that makes for Ferragamo, that makes for Chloe, that makes for many other, many, many, many multiple brands, Gucci, you know, endless brands. And they have the quality there. So I didn't have to put that much effort. It was very easy to start. I think for every business, no, to start is not that difficult. It just takes you courage. You start and you are there, but then keep where you are is a difficult thing. And by now, I only not work with that factory. I do work with other factories, and I started with the crocodile like 3-4 years ago. I don't even 3 years ago, I believe, that I started with this, making custom-made bags. This is a very exclusive factory, super high-end. They call it laboratory, not even a factory. Very difficult to get in. Easier to start in Harvard and to get into Harvard with these factories. And yeah, it's so difficult, and I'm so blessed that I'm still there. Working with them is so nice. It's like a family. They really, once they get to know you, it's a different thing. They give you all the support, the knowledge, the everything. But it's not easy, I will have to say. Not at all. It seems if we make it look in Instagram or when you go to the store or when you talk to me and I'm somewhere, whatever, it seems very easy. But behind the scenes, takes a lot of tears, effort, and courage to be where I am.
And tell people a little bit, two questions. The crocodiles, where they come from, as well as any other leathers that you work with. We've worked with seal. We did a fur bag. We work with ostrich for the doctor bag. And go a little bit into the doctor bag, and then I have to go see patients. I'm sorry.
Okay, of course. Yeah. Super quick. So we started with Python. This is the main factory that they work. It's in Italy, in Florence, in Tuscany, that area. And this factory is the factory of my friend, and they specialize in exotics. But I love the Python print. So this is how I started. And then with the time and years, I got this crocodile factory. The crocodiles are mainly from Australia. This factory makes for the most luxurious names, brand names in the world. And everything is patent. Everything has a name. Everything has a code. Everything has a permit, et cetera, et cetera. My pythons are in Indonesia. We have farms in Indonesia. And then the skins travel. And in every handbag, when you buy the python, you see also a card where they disclose that this, because we don't have pythons in Italy, right? So what they do is that the skin goes from Indonesia, they travel to Italy. In Italy, they kind of like prepare the skins and the tannery where it makes the bags. And then ostrich and all these other animals, it depending on where they are, but they are very careful because since they are very known factories, everything is very regulated. So we don't have hunting, we don't have killing the animals, none of that stuff.
And then tell, I guess, the viewers how we came up with the Dr. Pack together, what it is, and how it's creating a fashionable spin to the Dr. Bag, the one that old school doctors used to go to a house with and see a patient. By the way, I did a house call yesterday with your Dr. Bag and the suitcase as well.
Oh, mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. So first of all, the Dr. Bag is not my design. It's your design. I remember you sending me a picture of your inspiration and what would you like to have as a bag, right?
Yeah.
And then we started from there. So the expertise of all these masters, which are amazing artisans, is what made this Dr. Bag be so special. The skins, the colors, embroider, everything. But this design, I have to say that is 100% Ana Chacon is yours. Yeah, you have a very good taste because before the Dr. Bag, you were my customer for my other Jimena Caballitas pieces. And when I say, okay, let's talk to Ana, let's meet Ana, because of the selection that you had purchased, I was like, oh, this lady has very good taste. And this is how this started. Then I make my very first trolley, which is yours, and you have it, the carry-on. Very nice. That is a design that we did it thinking of the skin. So when you chose the skin, that you have 16 skins in that trolley, you know that, right? So because they're very little, and these skins were made for a very, I don't know if I can say the name of who, you know, who these skins were meant to be for. We shaped the shape of the carry-on with that skins because they all have to be hand to hand. And I have a video actually from the artisan saying how he glued every single skin with a special material to make it look as a one piece. It's really a masterpiece. It's like what you have there is art, so you better take care of it.
Of course. And that's why we need to do the event. You know, that's why we need to do the event. I don't know if I could personally sell them because I use them. You know, it's my profession. You know, it's exactly like the most fashionable doctor bag you can find. But we can reproduce some, you know, we'll talk about it.
I'm in for it. And, yeah. And you know, most important, regardless of the material, because obviously your bags are crocodile. So in exotics, it's like the top of the top. But we can do is, I believe in quality. So if you have a good artisan working in what, regardless the skin, that we can make it more affordable for everyone, we can do it. Italy for me is France also, of course, amazing. But I have the knowledge with my Italian factories. And I think we can achieve something amazing, exquisite with amazing quality that will last forever. And it doesn't have to be crocodile. It could be leather, could be fabric, could be anything that you select. It's your design. So you tell me. And you designed it, actually. You are the one that sent me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do the event. I will celebrate you. You have so many doctor bags. We should do it so that you show your amazing collection because people have to see these beauties. They're gorgeous.
Thank you. And then last but not least, I know you have two kids. How do you balance being a businesswoman with an international business and fame, you know, with a family and your relationship too? I'm sure it's not easy getting on a plane, going to Italy, leaving your family behind to work.
Yes, it is not easy, but you know, almost my kids grow up with me working. So they are used to what I do and they know. I think it's a lot of organization, you know, get your calendar and plan, a lot of planning, a lot of talking between the family. Now my kids are teenagers, so you think that when they're little, it's very difficult, but no. Small kids, small problems. Big kids, big problems. So now they're teenagers, so they need me more. I don't know if they need me more. They don't want to see me. They're teenagers. They just want to be by themselves. But I feel that I need to be with them more because of this age. And that is, you know, it's a special, particular age. But my husband helps me a lot. I have a lot of support from my husband. And sometimes, believe it or not, I'm from Ecuador. I live here by nobody. Everybody's in Ecuador and my husband the same. He's Greek and all his family's in Greece. So sometimes if I have to travel and he's coming with me for support or help or whatever, I have to bring someone from Ecuador to stay at home with the kids while we are away. So not easy neither in that aspect. But, you know, when you have the love and passion for what you do and you really want to achieve your goal with, for me, it's like grow the brand and one day be everywhere in every country in the world, you have to do these sacrifices and just keep going. Follow your dream.
Last thing, the collaborations, the international collaborations that you've done, how did those come about?
You know, my brand is mainly international. I am in Miami. I'm based in Miami, but it's made in Italy. And then when that when made in Italy, but you sell your from Miami, you just get there international. And with Missoni, for example, when I did my collaboration with Margarita, that was one of the biggest, amazing, the best things I've done. She's gorgeous. She's really nice. She's a good friend. And, you know, the brand, you already are, you know, close to a very big brand. And that helped me tremendously. I will recommend if anybody's in this type of business or in any business, I believe that I need to be surrounded with people that I believe they are better, not better, but more experienced than myself, more knowledgeable than myself, more very successful in whatever they do. That's why I'm with you. I truly admire you for what you are, for what you do. You are a doctor. You are a woman. You have grown so much. Now you look amazing, by the way, also in the fact.
Thanks.
See? So it's good to be surrounded with people that like to succeed. And that's what I do.
Yeah. Or people you can learn from, like, or you know, mentors.
I will say essential. Yes.
Thank you for being here.
Bye. Ciao. Nice talking to you.